Tuesday of the month, and that means it's time for Focus on Education with Superintendent of Schools for the Town of Greenwich, Dr. Tony Jones. Dr. Jones, good morning. Welcome. Happy New Year. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. Thank you, and Happy New Year to you.
All right. From an overall standpoint, how was it getting back into the swing of things yesterday after the break?
You know, we had a great day yesterday. The kids were happy to be back in school, and it felt just like a normal day for us.
All right. Let's talk about, of course, the combating the spread of COVID and staying in school and not remote. Why is that?
Well, I think one of the misunderstandings this year with remote is that, we are not allowed by law to have a remote school like we did last year, or a remote option for parents just to choose to put their children in remote. They took legislative action at the end of last year, so that was not available to us. The only way that we can offer that sort of option like we had last year would be through an action of the governor or legislative action. So, that's frustrating to some families who are, a little nervous about the Omicron variant, but it simply is just not something that we're able to offer by law. The only way that a student can have any sort of remote access, and in Greenwich that's 6 through 12, is that they have to be in a health-related quarantine, isolation, or there has to be something happening within the family or the household where there's a severe, immune compromised situation. And the nurses have to evaluate each and every one of those.
All right. But for the most part, and maybe that's changed with the recent surge, community transmission has been higher than in-school transmission. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. It's been that way from day one since we've been dealing with this. This is the third school year, the second really calendar year that we've been dealing with this. And, it's always been, school is a really safe place for children and staff to be, because we do have such strong mitigation strategies within the school in comparison to what happens out in the community. They've said that all along.
Is there a provision then for students who have to quarantine to learn remotely?
There is for 6 through 12.
6 through 12.
6 through 12, they basically get a special link, and the teacher turns the camera on. It's very different than last year, because you'll only have one or two students who are at home, so they're able to at least see the class, keep pace with the class. In K-5, the teachers send work home. They just simply don't teach in the same way in K-5. It's, you've got small groups happening all across the room. It's incredibly difficult to do that with the little ones, but they send work home for them.
Okay. When you say 6-12, you mean grades 6 through 12?
Yes.
That is correct. Okay. Yes. All right. Around the state, several school districts, closed yesterday, maybe even today, delaying because of staffing shortages. Do you have that same problem here with staffing shortages?
So far, we're doing okay. I mean, I have, since the very beginning of COVID, asked HR to provide me every day with a staffing list. So this is something that I track and watch on a daily basis by school. And if we need to make adjustments, we do. And an example would be the week before we went to break, I could see that we were starting to have a little bit of a shortage with substitutes. And so we did a substitute incentive to pay additional per day if they would come and work for us. And if they worked the entire week, they got a little bit more of an incentive. And that really worked. So coming back into this week, I knew, obviously, with the variant so strong, some people a little bit more nervous. We knew we were going to have more staff that were out with either symptoms or being positive. So we put that incentive back in again, and it's working. It's helping. It helps substitutes, number one, choose to come and work for Greenwich versus maybe being in another district. And it also helps the substitutes that wake up in the morning and think, I may or may not work today, to say, okay, there's an incentive for me to actually get up and go to work today, because substitute is optional, work every day.
Right, right. Now, for the teachers that are out, they can't remotely teach, can they, or can they?
It's really a teacher by teacher case. If a teacher obviously is really sick, they can't remote back in. But we have teachers who are symptomatic. They still feel okay to teach, but you know, that we don't want them at school and they don't want to be at school to infect another person if in fact they end up testing positive. In a situation like that, we do allow them to remote back in so that they can keep the students on pace. There's still a substitute in the classroom, but we feel like that is best for our students. And a prime example would be, you know, I had that question just yesterday from a math teacher who really wants to keep her students on pace and doesn't want them to miss a week of instruction. So, of course, we allow that teacher to go ahead and in remote back in.
All right, good. Tell us about, you know, this quarantine period. I guess the CDC has now changed things to 5 days. Can you kind of explain that?
Yeah, for us, it's really not a huge change because, you know, initially, if you go back to the very beginning of COVID, quarantines were 14 days. It was really a long time. And then at some point, about a year into COVID, the recommendation was 7 to 10 days. We went with 10, and then we eventually changed to 7, and that was last year. So now what you're really talking about with the 5 days is the day that a student or a staff member tests positive is day zero. And then you have 5 days of isolation, and then they're back on day six. So you're really talking about 1 to 2 days difference. It's not a huge big difference in comparison to what we've been doing for, you know, well over a year.
Right. Well, what's the vaccine rate in the schools?
You know, our high school was really strong, you know, up close towards 90%. Although now, you know, really what they're talking about is with the boosters. So it's we need to really get a handle on where we are in that perspective because a lot of people have not gotten those booster shots yet.
Right. You're talking students or staff or everybody.
Students or staff. Right. And now they don't consider you fully vaccinated if you don't have the booster.
Right. You had, I guess, the ability for people to maybe, I don't know, if I take some time off to get a vaccine. Is that still in effect? I mean, it's very difficult, it seems, to get an appointment to get the booster.
Well, we've had some clinics, the town had clinics. So, if you make that appointment, most people can get an appointment. You might have to wait a week or a little bit longer, but the appointments are definitely still there.
Right. Talk about new mitigation strategies in the new year. What's going on?
Well, I wouldn't say they're new, and that's, you know, one reason I had some people ask, well, why don't we have a delay, you know, of school yesterday to talk about the new mitigation strategies. We've been in COVID now for, this is our third school year, you know, second calendar year, and we're doing really well. But part of it is at the beginning, mitigation strategies were much, much tighter. And through the different variants, we got to a period early this year where we were loosening up things like plexiglass. We didn't have the student center at the high school. We weren't using a separate gym for lunch. What we've done this week is we've really gone back to some of the measures that were much tighter that we used early on. The high school has expanded lunch space into the gym again, so they take over that space to allow kids to, you know, spread out more. We have halted just temporarily the aquatics program that happens during the day, and they'll do activity because your mask was off, obviously. So they'll do activities outside of the water, still, you know, following the curriculum, but they won't be in the water without masks. We've looked at all of our cafeterias across the district and looking at, do we need to spread back out even farther in some of our buildings? It's really just going building by building and seeing what we need to do. Some of the classrooms in elementary had been clustering student desks again. They had just started pulling them back together. Some of them yesterday, depending on how big the classroom is and what the environment's like, kind of got them back into rows and separated them back out again to have more distance. So it's not really new. It's really making adjustments based on everything we've learned over the last couple of years.
Right. Of course, the talk has been the at-home COVID-19 test kits, the distribution in Greenwich today. What's the situation with the school district?
Well, you know, we had a notice early yesterday that we may have tests available today to pick up. And so I'm crossing my fingers. We are likely to, hopefully, they will be there when we show up today at 9 a.m. And we'll be able to pick up a shipment to bring back to the district. But until we actually have them in our hands, we don't know what we don't know. But there is two different types of test kits, according to the message yesterday. And one type is for the teachers or staff, and it has a single test kit in it. The other is for students, and it has to be for students or staff. They are being very clear about how we can use these test kits within a school district. And those test kits have two inside the box. However, we're not just issuing test kits to every staff and to every student. And there's a criteria that the state has given us. And basically, a student or a staff has to be either symptomatic, they have had a close contact, and this is, again, determined by, you know, the our health and nurses. They've had a close contact or something like a class quarantine where the whole class was exposed and perhaps are all going home. And then everybody in the class would be issued a kit. So it really is based on need. And I'm sure they're issuing them in that manner to us because the supply is so difficult to get.
Right. Any idea how many you're getting?
As of yesterday, I believe we were going to be around, it's right around 7,000.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, we've got so much more to go here with Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones, non-COVID-related issues. So we're going to take a break, come back with more on Focus on Education with Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones, until 9 o'clock, center stage with Pamela Kuhn at 9:02 this morning. So we've talked for the first segment about the COVID protocol and so forth, but we're going to move away from that now as Gus Lindeen retired after a number of years as the athletic director for Greenwich High School, and Superintendent Jones, a search on for a successor?
Yes, we will be posting the job again later in the spring. And let me just say, you know, congratulations to Gus on his retirement. I think he was with us 17 years, long time, and has really built, you know, a tremendous, tremendous athletic program. And carried on the tradition that we've had for decades. And we will post in the spring, and you know, through a committee process, we'll go back out and look for the person who will be in that new role. We have somebody from our physical education department who's stepping into that role as acting athletic director to keep us going January through June.
Okay, I was going to say, you have to have somebody in place. Were you surprised that Gus retired mid-school year?
You know, I was surprised in the sense that I didn't know he was thinking about it at that point in time, but I'm not surprised in that a lot of people who are eligible for retirement during COVID are really rethinking about when they want to retire. And it's been an incredibly, incredibly challenging time to be an educator. An athletic director is definitely one of the most challenging administrative positions in a school district from the standpoint of the time that it takes to do the job. You are at games at night. You're at games almost every weekend. It is really an intrusion on personal time. So you have to be somebody who absolutely loves what you do to be a wonderful athletic director. And so I can see where not only has it been, you know, the last 2 years have really been draining. It's a tough job to start with, but then having all of these COVID protocols and, you know, are you going to be canceling games tomorrow because you have positive cases? Can you have the number of spectators that you would like at a game? There are so many different decisions that have gone into just running an athletics program during COVID. I can certainly understand where, you know, hitting pause and wanting to take more time just to be with family when you're retirement eligible. And, you know, he's been doing this for over 30 years. So you reach a point where your retirement doesn't grow any longer. You're actually just working because you want to work. And once you hit that 30-year mark, if you've been in Connecticut, you have to make that decision. And so I'm not surprised. I think he has a new grandbaby and just all kinds of things.
All right, time for him to smell the flowers, smell the roses, as the saying goes, right?
Right, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, let's talk now about North Mianus Elementary School and reunited under one roof a little bit early before Christmas, got things going and back in yesterday.
Absolutely. It was wonderful to get them in before we went to break. I started my day there yesterday, and it was great to see them so settled. They're back in their space. It looks like they were never gone. Happy faces all around. And I think one of the wonderful aspects of it is just the upgrade to that portion of the building that was the oldest portion of the building. And one of the things that really stands out, even if you stand in front of the building outside, is the new lighting. It is so bright, just the learning environment alone. It just feels different. The new lighting is fantastic. There's new countertops. It feels like a new space, which was an exciting bonus.
Mm-hmm. From an overall standpoint, how do you think things went under difficult circumstances for the kids that had to go to Stanford?
Oh, I think that they actually, they enjoyed it. And they're happy to be back with their siblings. They're happy to not have to get on a bus and go to Stanford. But the Stanford campus was fantastic. They were very gracious hosts to us. The classrooms were huge, which was, that was a bonus, especially at the beginning of the year as we were returning. So I think it went really, really well. And having third, fourth, and fifth grade together was the right, also, I think, move in that, it really was first grade and fourth and fifth that were impacted, but making the choice to have an early childhood campus and an upper elementary also really helped.
Mm. Really talks to the resilience of kids, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, what about the school itself? Is the work finished there? What's the latest?
Almost everything is done with the exception of really some of the cabinetry and the millwork, and that is in the main office area and also in the media center, and we were hoping to have most of that finished over the break. However, the construction team who was doing that millwork for us was impacted by COVID with several of their workers, so they just didn't have the workforce over the break. So they are working this week and next week if needed every evening in order to get that done now that they're coming out of COVID.
All right, so they don't work during school hours?
No, we don't have them there during the day.
Right. All right, great. We're going to take another break. Speaking with Greenwich Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones. This is Focus on Education on Schools, Dr. Tony Jones. All right, Dr. Jones, the budget's been approved by the Board of Education. Moving on to the next step. So what's next for the budget?
The next step for us is that the chair and I will present the budget to the BET and the BET Budget Committee, and that will happen on January 25th, and that happens in the evening. The first selectman presents the town of Greenwich budget, and then that's followed by the Board of Education presentation for our budget, and then there's all discussion. We will have, following that, there are several dates. We will have go to the committee. During the day, it's usually an all-day meeting where we, go through the budget in great detail with the BET, and so that's the next step for us.
Do you know if these meetings are going to be allowed to be in person, because aren't the meetings now remote?
It's interesting. I'm not sure what the town of Greenwich is doing. My understanding is right now they've gone back to everything remote by January 25th. I'm not sure. The Board of Education does both. We offer remote for those people who don't want to be in person, and we have offered, we've been in person at Central Middle School, and we have to stay at one school location now in order to have the equipment that we need to also offer that remote, where we used to be able to rotate from school to school to school. I'm not sure with the Board of Education this month if the Board of Education will be live. A lot of that will probably depend on the health-related guidance, just because you're bringing large groups of people into the actual auditorium space. And one of the challenges for us after a meeting is making sure the building, is sanitized and cleaned and ready to go the next day for students.
Now, as far as the reaction from the BET to the budget, it's slightly above their guidelines, is it not?
It was not above their guidelines until we got our bus bid. So now it's slightly above, not a whole lot, but it is slightly above. And we kind of split the difference in that we found some, areas where we reduced inside the budget in order to not have that number be as large you know, we had built in a 5% in this budget because we do it so early. We start working on the budget in the summer, and we're one of the localities that presents a budget, you know, earlier than anybody else in early November. And so we had built in 5% before the bids ever came in, and the bids came in between 12.5% and 23%, huge increases. When the BET set our guidelines, I believe they used 2%. So they were looking at a 2% increase. So I think, you know, they understand that when you go through a bid process, we don't control, you know, how much the buses are going to cost when you go out to bid. And 12.5 was certainly a larger number than anybody anticipated. And I'm sure that has to do a lot with what's been happening with bus companies during COVID. A lot of them really lost money over the last year or so. Depending on the contract and the language within a contract, you know, when you have long periods, when, for instance, in the spring of 2020, when all the districts and the governor ordered, you know, we ended up closing schools, you weren't running buses. So they weren't getting either paid for that, or they were only getting a portion, depending on the bus contract language. And yeah, I'm sure it hurt their, you know, their bottom line, and they're having to, you know, make up some of that.
All right. Let's get an update on some field work. Western Middle School?
Well, we had a great meeting, actually, over the break, over winter break. And we're continuing to move forward. Right now, we were asked to do additional testing that was right along the perimeter of the actual property. And so that was completed about a month ago. So we are continuing to follow up with them on any additional testing and trying to really work aggressively, you know, to get a shovel in the ground so that we can get this field back open for our students.
All right. And then next phase of Cardinal Stadium project.
Well, we actually, with Cardinal Stadium right now, we're finishing up, you know, the early phase, and it's for the most part, it's done. I mean, the stadium is absolutely beautiful. We will, if we get to the point that we have better numbers and we know what to expect, we will actually go and ask for that separately. That was the decision the board made during the budget process.
Right. So they took money out of the capital?
Yes. Yeah, they took them, and then we will ask for that when it's needed.
All right, good. From an overall standpoint, how was the first semester of the 2021-2022 school year?
I think it was great. I mean, it's. I think one of the things about this year is that it felt so much better than the last year in a bit, and that especially for our high school students and middle school students, who are involved in things like athletics and drama and art and just all of those wonderful activities that make, you know, the young people really want to go to school. And it's such an important part of their life. And a lot of that has been so much more normal this year. We've been able to have sports seasons without completely shutting them down. That's just been so invaluable. And the same way for music, having those programs back. And so we're really working to, you know, to make that happen. The other thing, and when you go into an elementary classroom, you know, you can see, yes, there's still some the social distancing, but it's so much more normal. The hands-on, the manipulatives are there, where at the very beginning of COVID, you know, what we were told by the health professionals with that very, very kind of first variant, that high touch, that you had to be really careful about touch. So, you know, weren't even utilizing the library books, and we had to sanitize books and just the whole process. So this year has been so much more like what we think of in school, what it should be for children and for our young people. So it's that part of it has been fantastic.
You've learned so much about how to deal with it, what's dangerous, what's not, right, over the last year.
Well, and I think, you know, if Omicron teaches us anything, this newest variant is that we have to keep pivoting, and we have to be flexible, and we have to be able to adjust according to what's happening from the health and safety perspective. And, you know, what we did 6 months ago may not work right now. And we just continue to, you know, listen to the health professionals and the experts in this field who have been terrific in guiding us and knowing what we need to do to keep our doors open for school. And that's critical, and we need to have in-person learning available for students.
All right, Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones, it's always a pleasure to talk to you this morning. Have you